This is a podcast from the people behind the world's longest running football fans podcast, The Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and listen anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can have a free subscription where this lands straight in your email inbox, and you can go to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. You can also have a paid subscription where you get some additional content, including the In Conversation podcast every week, and the Celtic Written, which is basically a rehash of the E-Tim's Rumour Mill, oops, from Glen Tintin from years ago. Anyway, this is me, Harry Brady, with this week's podcast. It's Harry Brady here. You will be sick of the back teeth of me doing these in-the-car, shitty audio, post-game podcasts. However, it's just so that you glorious Celtic Underground community members can get some post-game listening, because I know myself, after a game particularly, nothing better than a game with a last-minute winner, you just want to hear some Celtic chat as soon as you can. And nothing worse than, okay, today's a Sunday, but nothing worse than you go back out and you get in the car and take the floors on Radio Scotland or whatever banging tunes are on Clyde One, and you just want to hear about the Celtic. Anyway, so that's what we're here to do. Audio's not great, but we're here to talk about the Celtic because, let's face it, they're the finest team in Scotland. Anyway, so today I missed the first 20 minutes of the game. I've got a mate who runs marathons and half marathons. He's been injured. I'll go into a bit of detail there. He picked up an injury in the London Marathon, so he's not been able to do any training. So this Glasgow Half Marathon is his first race back. Lives in Edinburgh, so I always go and see him run because it's always in the morning. He's at the front. He's in the front pack, and he finishes early, and it's great. And we play Saturdays, and when we play Sundays, it's away from home because we play Champions League football. So wee bit annoying because you've obviously, like, months in advance agreed that you're going to meet him and you're going to take him out for something to eat, having run his half marathon, that we end up in the Europa League and playing at home on a Sunday. So that's where we are. So that's where I was. And you might want to know how he did. I hear you say, well, 1 hour 26 minutes. So he was the fourth fastest 55 and over runner in the marathon, in the half marathon, Glasgow half marathon. And that's a guy who hasn't run. He keeps asking me to see if I would do it, and he would just run with me and not try and compete. Well, based on the fact that I took him for something to eat in the Pig and Whistle up in Bath Street, then I had to walk back down to my car, which was next to Glasgow Green, and then get harassed trying to get through the traffic of people leaving Glasgow Green and getting to the game, and then parking not in a great place for the game. The amount of walking and half running that I did, I am a million miles away from running 13 miles. I was not a goalkeeper. I was a goalkeeper for a reason. It's probably the best way to put it. I was not the best trainer when I was young. Anyway, so because of him, I'm late. Sitting in traffic, I did watch a shot. I think it was McGregor that they got. We got a corner from near post. I saw that on the big screen sitting in the car. Then managed to park the car. And on ScottishFitba.com, that's people walking in front of my car, that beeping noise. At ScottishFitba.com, I managed to watch the game as I was walking up. So obviously, I missed nothing of the game because we don't really do anything. Anyway, we then are playing, and we're the better team. They're playing out quite a bit from the back, and we get our penalty in the first half. As soon as Cal McGregor takes the shot, it hits the guy's hand. I thought it might be a penalty. So interesting, the referee calls it back, and then VAR seemed to take an age to check it. So, penalty. And it's 1-0 to Celtic, and we are the better team. Challenge we've got, obviously, is the midfield's just not working. It's clear that the midfield's not working. We've got Callum McGregor. I wouldn't ever play Luke McCowan from the start in a game because he's just not got any pace, and so he does better in games when he comes on as a sub. And we've got Hitati, who has now convinced himself that every single pass has to be first time, has to be some sort of incredible worldly pass, where the ball comes to you and you hit it so that it goes off the side of your boot in a spinning arc round and through. Anything other than that is a complete waste of time, so don't even try and do it. That seems to be the mindset of Itati. So as a consequence, the midfield's not functioning. We know we've got nobody to play wide right, apart from the 34-year-old James Forrest, who again looks better when he comes on as a sub in a game than starting one. So we're playing Maeda left, who lacks technical ability in the first place, and he's left-footed, playing him on the right, and he's left-footed. So I'm not so sure about that, but I'm not quite sure what the alternative options are. Iheanacho through the middle, again, he'll do well, and he will score us goals this season. I reckon he'll get 15, 20 goals this season, but he's not going to be a prolific, going a run, scoring a couple of goals a game type guy. And Tunetke, who is frustrating after his good start against Kilmarnock. Just get to the byline and put the ball in, son, is what I feel like saying to him. But this isn't Melchester Rovers, where he's going to hear me in the upper tier of the North Stand. So I'm not saying that. Anyway, so that's that. Then they get the equaliser, and I'm doing all of this in the car. Obviously, I'm doing it from memory. So there was a foul on Hitati in the edge of the box that, from memory, nothing comes. Obviously, we don't get the foul. Why would we? That'd be just crazy chat. What is this, sorcery free kicks? So we don't get the foul. It then breaks up the park, and then it comes to Luke McCowan, who plays a crossfield ball to Tony Ralston, and Tony Ralston controls the ball further than I can pass it. I think ball was played to him, and he controls it about 15 yards. It goes straight to a Motherwell player. They break down, cross in. Not quite sure. I don't think Iheanacho was putting much pressure or any pressure on the crosser. And it comes in, and the guy is between Scales and Carter Vickers. So he's behind Scales. So I need to watch it again, but my gut feel is Scales should be cutting that out. But Carter Vickers can see the guy who heads it about shin high into the back of the net. Not that I want Carter Vickers to injure people, but that guy should be in the hospital now, because Carter Vickers should have seen what was coming, that Scales wasn't clearing it, Scales wasn't getting it away, and Carter Vickers should have just hooked his foot through the ball, and that's why the guy should have been in the hospital, because he'd probably smacked his head at the same time. But he didn't, and then not quite sure what Schmeichel was doing, just seemed to sort of stand and watch it. All that inside 6 yards. So it's one each. Second half, more of the same. And then there was a long delay for their offside. And I didn't look that close. But anyway, then they get the penalty for them to go 2-1 up. And my thoughts at the time were that Iheanacho maybe going for it, it just stood on the guy's toe, which we all know modern football, that's a penalty. Interestingly, they didn't massively claim for it, but they get the penalty. And your concern at that point is that the way that we played this season, this time last season, before today's game, we'd scored 38 goals. And this season, we've scored 17. So we are scoring less than half the goals of last season. I talked about that after the Braga game midweek. We've taken 50 goals out of the team in the last 15 months, so it's no surprise that we are scoring 50% fewer goals. That's the concern when they get the penalty. Schmeichel's frustrated because he gets a hand to it, but it just goes up and in to the back of the net. And it's 2-1 Motherwell. Hinton immediately makes a change and brings on Engels and Ballatwisher and Fertunetke, and he takes off Iheanacho. What was that? Anyway, brings on Engels. McCowan goes off as well, and Hitati goes off. So I'm trying to remember all the substitutions that were made in the order that were made in. Forgive me. But Maeda goes... No, he didn't bring Ballatwisher on at that point. You're right. Thanks for pointing it out. Because Maeda goes wide left initially, and Iheanacho stays on the park. And but anyway, we play better. We play better, for me, once Engels is on the pitch. Another midfielder who's capable of controlling the ball. I'm not saying he's perfect for anybody who then says, ah, but I'm not saying he's perfect, and I'm not saying he's doing all the right things, and I actually think he's lacking a bit of confidence. We keep forgetting he is 21 years of age. You know, if we had a 21-year-old that came through our academy, we would be a bit more sympathetic to him. He's 21 years of age, and he's not getting first-team starts this season. But I think every time he comes on in a game, McGregor plays better, because suddenly there's two of the three midfielders who are capable of taking more than one, or capable of taking control of the ball and holding on to it. So we play better, and we start to look like we could do something in the game, and we get better, and we get better. And then the equaliser comes. Before that, Negrin had a Sarachi had put a cross in that sort of deflected over and ballooned over and then hit the post and comes back out to Negrin. And certainly from where I am, no stand-upper. He just hit it in a straight line and it's in the back of the net and he manages to put it wide. But a wee bit later on, they are trying to pass out from the back. And that's fine. I am not one of these people of hoof it up the park, because their play this season has been good and it's all come from patient control and keeping possession of the ball and playing it out from the back. But the keeper passes it straight to Negrin, who puts it in the back of the net, 2-2. And at that point, it is only Celtic if anybody's going to score. It's only Celtic and it's all Celtic. Referee was very similar to last week in the Hibs game, where two players go together. Whatever happens next, it's a foul to Motherwell. There's some poor decision making in passes into the box, but by the end of the game, we've got Negrin is playing a bit better with McGregor and Engels able to control the ball. Two midfielders capable of retaining possession of the ball is an advantage, and Negrin is playing much more into what I understand is the place that he played last season for his former club. Not quite right wing, but not quite number 10, and not quite right midfield, and drifting in and cutting in and being at the edge of the box. And then we get a corner kick. Ralston makes a front post run, tries to flick it on, doesn't, gets cleared, comes back out, and eventually the ball's recycled to Engels, who plays an exquisite pass through to Ballot-Wisher, who puts in a cross, diving header from Daiza Maeda, placer ups. We're in injury time. I was quite surprised. I thought there really should be about 7-8 minutes of injury time, around about the 87th minute there. The player went down injured and then went off, and I think they made a final substitution, but whatever. It was a full 1 minute 20 seconds from the point where they were ready to take it and they stopped the play through. So there was a minute. So you're looking for at least 7-8 minutes to be added on. We then make it 3-2, and then you want the added on to be stopped. And often think, well, we needed the time added on because they wasted it. They were the team wasting it, so they shouldn't gain advantage of the time added on towards the end. Anyway, I actually thought there might be another 90 seconds on top of the 7 minutes, because there's 30 seconds of celebration for the goal. Again, we need to learn. We don't seem to take quite as long as a team like Motherwell do to waste time at when we've scored a goal at that. Anyway, I thought there was 30 seconds of that, and then there was a player down injured. One of their players was down injured it was a full minute. So I thought 90 seconds might be added on. They then are going for it, but just 97 and a half, I think it was, the referee blows full time and the game is over. The Rebels have won. Celtic have made it 3-2, and we are going into an international break, and it would have been such a period of angry introspection going into an international break if we'd not won. We've got this meeting between the fan collective, I think it's called, and Michael Nicholson, Chris Mackay, and I don't know who else on the board is going to be there tomorrow on Monday. So we'll see what comes of that. I'm not quite sure. Look, let's be honest, Michael's not going to turn around and say, do you know what, boys, you are right. So just to let you know, nobody knows this yet, but I'm resigning. And so's Chris. And so's Peter. So that's not coming from it. I do know Celtic have been working on an internal restructuring through the year. And I think one of the first posts, I remember what the head of business operations, I think is the job title that they're advertising for. I think in other businesses it might be referred to as COO, Chief Operating Officer. So that's a role, from my interactions with Celtic, they're understaffed. That's one of the reasons why communication's poor, why the app takes a long time. I just see an understaffed club, but that's not very sexy, and I don't think that'll resolve the issues that the fans have got. So I'm not quite sure what we said at the meeting. I'm quite sure Chris Mackay will do a presentation on the UEFA FSR rules. I see that Axom did Kieran Maguire. Obviously, if Kieran Maguire told me today was Sunday, I checked my calendar from all the financial stuff I've seen of him. I know he's held up as a guru. Personally, any time I've seen him write against about Rangers, it's been utter pish. So I'm not a big fan of Kieran Maguire talking about it. I know that there's bigger issues that Celtic will bring to the fore about FSR and budgeting for 2 years ahead and all that and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I'm quite sure he'll do that presentation. I'm sure Michael will talk about the heads of business operations and that'll improve communication, because I didn't do this. I'm just not sure that's going to cut it as being something, unless there's an agreement that we're putting these things in place, give us time to show that we're making change. But again, I don't think that's going to cut it. Winning games, signing players, but we can't do that until January in terms of signing players. So I don't know what's going to come of it. Anyway, enough of that crap. We won 3-2. Much better to be going into the international break with that having happened, particularly as Falkirk managed to get a 1-1 draw with Rangers. And so all the domestic football chat is going to be, will he, won't he, about when Rangers are going to sack Russell Martin, because they are now facing the very strong likelihood that they don't even finish second in the league. But more importantly, on to Celtic, we won. Important things that came of today, we won. Next and most important thing that came today, we won. Third most important thing, we scored three goals. And we won scoring three goals, and we won coming from 2-1 down. All of those things are exceptionally important today, and let's see what happens over the next wee while. Anyway, there will be more podcasts. I am away for the October week, so I'm not quite sure how we're going to, who's going to be on what, but there will be. I know Ross's most recent article about the academy that went out on Saturday was exceptionally well received by readers of CU and beyond. And so there's another article from Ross coming up shortly as well, so keep your eyes peeled for that. There will be more stuff from everybody. There was the Ruffy podcast out this morning. I didn't realise Ruffy was a Celtic supporter. I just thought he'd ended up playing for us, and I didn't realise he nearly signed for us when Jock Steen was Celtic manager. Anyway, listen to the Ruffy in conversation with Andrew Smith. But for now, this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. We won 3-2. Hail, hail. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.